Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, evening, afternoon, whatever the case may be. That particular piece was supposed to go 5 minutes. Oh, well. Life does not always turn out the way we expect, does it? My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed here on Blog Talk Radio. I will be your host from now to 1:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Telephone number, call-in number. Should you not already know it or don't have easy access through chat, is in fact 619-639-4724. 619-639-4724. You know, we ended last night's show. It was pretty good overtime chat and got pretty passionate. But I've been thinking all day and been wrestling with two things. The way we structure and see what's heard, and I know a lot of you out there say, oh, he always talks about that, but I think I can bring a different spin to it. And the other thing, in fact, has to do with our lack of tolerance. You know, Plato said it a long time ago. He said that one of the most attractive things about democracies were also the most undermining, and that was freedom. Because in the ultimate end, the least vestige of restraint gets annoying to people. You know, liberty for me, the freedom to do whatever the hell I want, but I don't have much tolerance for what you have to say or what you want if it doesn't agree with what I want. And I'm out here in California, and we have some pretty controversial propositions on our ballot, one of which is Proposition 37, which most of you know has to do with the labeling of GMOs. Now, I have a friend on Facebook that is, I could call him the Jehovah's Witness of a vegan diet. Very nice young man. I like him. But many of the people that I meet with respect to that are engaged in veganism and caught up in it, there's fundamentally not much room for discussion. Now, he is tolerant of discussion. He himself is very nice and and amenable to it. But a lot of the people are every bit as fanatical, if you will, or as determined or as directed or held by strongly held beliefs as anyone that that's religious in nature. So anyway, he posted this thing today that I found fascinating. And what it was, it was a very simple thing. And it was California's Right to Know. He says, Prop 37 phenomenon on Facebook. So I went ahead and looked at it. It goes to a place called TechCrunch. And I was immediately drawn in and fascinated as I read the thing. And eventually it did get to the core of something that I just wanted to respond to and reflect on. And so, you know, I did a post, interesting piece. The article is as much about a successful Facebook ad campaign as it is about Proposition 37. Once again, I find myself sorting through link after link of self-referential sites holding up. And I know you're there, Lori, and I know you have a high degree of respect for the man. So allow me my opinion if you want to talk about him, we can. Holding up Jeffrey Smith is a self-proclaimed expert on GMOs. What amazes me about Jeffrey Smith is he has no credentials at all that I have been able to discover. He used to be a dance instructor, I know that, and he's a couple other things. The guy that wrote the article, I'll go on to say, Al Partavi, seems to have no scientific credentials that I can find either. By the way, my real frustration is facts seem to have died, even to the extent that people will add footnotes and references to what they have to say to give credulity to it, knowing the whole time most won't even bother to check the references. And one of the things in this piece that was there is it says, this is the kind of BS, I went on to say, that grates me, great Caleb. Opponents to our Right to Know. I'm not about anybody's right to know or against labeling food. I'm on the verge of being against Prop 37 because it's written poorly. It's poorly written law. If people are intellectually honest, in my humble opinion, read the whole thing and look at the list of exemptions, for which there are quite a few, some of which I find are people should be concerned about. You know, I'll give you a couple real quick. Some of the exempt items, food consisting of or derived entirely from an animal that has not itself been genetically engineered, regardless of whether such animal has been fed or injected with genetically engineered food or any drug that had been produced through means of genetic engineering. Well, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, antibiotics in cattle and all these things that can affect us. You know, it seems to me here we have a food that could be left out of the labeling process because it falls under organically grown beef, even though it could have been fed all sorts of genetically modified organisms and its tissue could be, in fact, affected by it. The second one was a raw agricultural commodity or food derived therefrom that has been grown, raised, or produced without the knowing and intentional use of genetically engineered seed or food. It goes on, you know, the fact is if you can claim you didn't really know, you don't need to label it as genetically modified. Now, I have no problem there again. Maybe some things are better than other, but it gets me to the point. This list goes on. The actual list of exemptions goes from A through L. So that's 12. For all you people out there, you know the magical letter number 13M. 13M is for marijuana. So, the exposure express brings up in chat what law isn't poorly written. I think that kind of gets to the heart of it, and it gets into this realm of what I've said many times. Calling something doesn't make it the thing you call it. So I went on to say, P.S., I'm not also for truth in advertising. If people are putting out false credentials and associations, that's not right, because if you read this whole piece as well, you would find that there is someone in many of the television ads regarding Proposition 37 saying that he's a doctor from Stanford and going over all the bad things in the law, saying vote no on 37. And they bring up, well, he's not really from Stanford and a bunch of stuff going on. So listen, I don't care who it comes from. I happen to be for truth in advertising. And I know that we give advertising a whole latitude of wiggle room when it comes to truth, because not every hotel can be the best in the world. So anyway, I posted this thing, and right before coming on the show, that little red dot was up saying that someone had commented on something. I looked it up, and here's a guy and his response. These people and organizations promoting no on 37 need to be set on fire, plain and simple. Now, he's certainly entitled to his opinion. You know, I don't have any problem with the fact that he has his opinion, but the question that I raise to you, and I throw out there to you, the listening audience, and anyone's, you're all welcome to call in, is what level of tolerance is that? My comment back to him, and he'll probably come back with something else equally acrid, you know, vitriolic. Thanks. Your thoughtful, reasoned response is what makes the country work. See, I don't think that we often stop to think that maybe some of those laws that, in fact, are part of physics actually carry on in the human interaction universe in strange ways. There's that one in physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And when someone throws something out like that, see, there's no room to disagree. You know, it's not even about maybe I have no problem with labeling and put myself out of it. You know, I don't even know that he's addressing me personally. He doesn't know me, has no reason to address me personally. But the fact of the matter is, when you coin, frame, and put the conversation in that context, you wind up doing what P.G. O'Rourke said many times, you tie your politics to something that no one could possibly be against, and then what you do is you berate them for being against the thing no one could be against when they question your politics. And I ask you, is this problematic in this great nation? Does this, in fact, lead to social unrest? You know, are people entitled to have differing opinions on highly controversial issues, and can people, in fact, sit and discuss them reasonably without getting down and out on one another? Maybe not. See, I think that this is one of the places where slowly but surely we start to erode the civility of the internet, the civility of society, and maybe with the internet. It becomes very easy to insult other people, assault other people, to not say, well, quite frankly, I disagree with you, and you need to, I wish you'd reconsider, look at the issue, look at the law, you know, do a better job, you know, or even vote for it, because it's better than nothing. See, the response is, someone posted something, I did, questioning a very successful Facebook campaign, which I don't know in the big picture how successful it will be and whether Prop 37 makes it or not. I think that already, the fact that they've been able to vilify the acronym GMO, and I'm not saying GMOs are good, by the way. I'm going to leave that out. We can bring it up if you want later. I have a whole litany of stuff at my fingertips I could bring up, but that was not the purpose of this. And by the way, that's interesting in terms of last night. I got thinking about it afterwards as I was reading this piece today on depleted uranium weaponage, and realize that in the course of last night's dialogue, I brought that up as an example of people getting very fired up about something that in many cases they don't know a lot about, and people having a sense that depleted uranium is radiologically bad and deadly because it's got such a long half-life, when in fact, the longer the half-life, the less radioactive and the less radiation exposure you're going to get over a given period of time. That was only one of many examples I was going to throw out there at the time when we went down the road about depleted uranium. But for those of you who just tuned in, if someone posted something about Prop 37, I made a comment that what I found troublesome is that most people probably don't, in fact, read the law. And I don't care what it is, whatever your state is when there's a proposition or something like that you vote on, and I don't know if all the states have propositions and initiative processes where the people can put things on the ballot, what you're literally doing is voting on a law, period. And so I don't care how good the title sounds or whatever, if you're going to vote yes on it, you need to, you should read through the law. You need to see the subsections, and at least what this refers to in that. Otherwise, you and I don't know. In fact, I've often said in the state of California, where we regularly have many initiatives on the ballot, as a general rule of thumb, if the initiative is more than half a page, just as a rule of thumb, I'd vote no against it, because normally if it gets to be 2 and 3 pages, they're talking about deleting this section of the law, adding this section of the law, and this refers to that. And by the time you're all said and done, you get down the line and you say, well, how the hell could they do that? Well, you voted it and put it in. You voted to make it law. Well, that's not what I was told it was going to do. No, it's because you read the summary, the part that someone had written up convince you that you should vote for their law. So for those of you tuning in, I was responding to someone that wanted to post a very effective Facebook ad campaign, and someone commented, basically based on mine, is these people and organizations promoting no on 37 need to be set on fire, plain and simple. That gives a lot of room in a civilized society, if in fact we are one, for people to respond and react. And I wonder, you see, let's see. Yeah, set people on fire if they oppose you. I didn't say that, see. I didn't say that either, Lori. See, here is the you've given me a good lead in to the show, because I assert to you that we are nothing but walking machines with reactionary buttons that are actually wired up to what we've taken this time to study and research and heaven be damned. I never said genetically modified foods are good. I never said that vaccines are good. I never said chemtrails either. I have my own opinion on these, and there's no temporal association. I have to prove their crap harmed me. See, those are places you can go, but see, it's one of the things that makes it very hard for us as a human species to have legitimate dialogues about issues and things. Or so I suggest, so I assert. We get caught up in the details of the example. We get to anything that, in fact, has any emotional charge to it. And before you get down the end of the trail, you know, people are yelling and screaming about each other and saying that you should be, in fact, put on fire. 619-639-4724. If you're in chat, you can click on the Skype button above if you have it. It's an interesting phenomenon about humans, and I wonder in the big picture, if there is such a thing, where it's going to lead us. Now, I keep saying it's an overlying theme because I really believe, I believe as much knowledge as possible is good, but I believe that you can get into a sense of, into a realm almost of information overload. And we wind up in a society that's got tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and even more tons of information out there that people look at, they check, and run with. Because after all, it must be on the internet. My day and age growing up, it was akin to, as my father used to say, is don't believe everything you read. Just because it's on the internet, you know, don't believe it. We had a little bit of that at the end of the show last night, and that regarding conversations about, you know, God and the Bible and things like that. And it was brought up that someone looked up a Wikipedia source Wikipedia is always, you know, that can be a good place to start someplace. But, you know, you always want to listen in if I do a scientific experiment, the general rule of thumb is replication of the source from a variety of different sources, you know, replicate the experiment two or three times. And then you see how then you have something that's called accuracy, and then you have precision. Precision is harder to measure because unless you know the answer, there is no way of measuring precision. But if you assume reproducibility gives you precision, then if you have a very tight, you know, very consistent results, you say, well, you know, I conclude that that was the answer. See, have we really gotten to that stage in a society where we have no tolerance for allowing someone to express something else? You know, there again, as I say about this Proposition 37, I would bet most of the people in my state that are going to vote on it, that I have read more about the proposition than most. Now, notice where your mind might have gone with that. I didn't say I know more about GMOs than most. What I said is that I may have read more about the law that we're going to vote on a week from this Tuesday than most, and may know more of what's in it than most. And right, wrong, or indifferent, sometimes I think bad laws are worse than no law at all. You know, we have been deluded, and you know, over and over and over, we become dependent on government laws and regulations to keep us safe. When in fact, in all the conversations we've had since I've been on BTR, and it have been about how government's not trustworthy. You know, is it problematic relegating our well-being to the people we elect and put in office? And there again, I say it again. Is it possible for reasonable people to disagree? And in fact, part of the way the system's structured is we put it all out on the table. We go out and vote, those of us that do vote. And at one point in time, we agreed to abide by the outcome of the election. But as I pointed out to you, there's someone there that doesn't like the fact that there are people against 37 and thinks that they should be set on fire. Now, in his defense, I don't like to beat up on people that aren't in fact here, is the ones he's in fact saying should probably be burned is the litany and list of support of people that have funded it, that have funded the No on 37 campaign. And it's an incredibly lengthy list. And many of them are bad names people don't like: Monsanto, DuPont, EI DuPont, Pepsi Company. Well, we all know that we shouldn't be drinking sodas. Bayer Crop Science, Dow AgroScience, Syngenta Corporation, BASF, they used to make plant sciences. I don't know what they do. Kraft Foods, General Mills, Kellogg's, Smithfield Foods, Del Monte, a very, very long list. Dole, packaged foods, flour foods, Cargill, a whole bunch of them. And they clearly are outspending. They clearly are outspending the Yes on 37 campaign by a huge chunk of money. They have roughly probably, I think it's about 4 or 5 to 1 in their campaign coffers. But never let it be said that there is a fairly heavy campaign fighting for it. You know, Mercola. Dr. Mercola, I signed up for him years ago when I was trying to see what I could find out about the possible alternative cures for cancer. I signed up for his newsletter. I'm not so sure that I'm really convinced that he is the best source, but that's okay. You know, you've got Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps, All One God Faith Incorporated. Well, that's a good reason to vote to get to label genetic foods. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, they're roughly about 6-7 million being funded for the in favor of Prop 37. There's roughly about 30 million against Prop 37. Our election will, in fact, determine it in the end. And I would invite anyone that's listening to me that's in California to read the law, read what it says, read what it governs and what it doesn't govern. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have gotten so passionate about this, except within a very short period of time, I happened to look at an article that made a lot of sense, because what it said was, we always hear when it comes to climate change and global warming, the science is in, the science is settled, the scientific consensus is such and such. Got to do something, because it can't be any other way. All the scientists agree that we have anthropogenic or man-made global warming. And the piece said, there's equally that much scientific support for the fact that GMOs are not in fact dangerous, which is a different issue, by the way, than Prop 37. I want you to know that I know that. And so I started going down that line. That was about the time the new French study on GMOs came out. And, I have taken a lot of hits and a lot of heat on this issue, because people are adamant about their belief that GMOs are bad. And maybe they are. Label them. I don't care. I think that's fine. I'm always amazed, though. I would feel much better if the food industry and people out there that have non-GMO food took it upon themselves to label things, and a law was passed that said there had to be truth in labeling subject to certain constraints. And I'll tell you, if I was in the food business, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'd be running out there so quick to label my stuff if I had no GMOs, because I think that would be an A number one selling point, A number one. By the way, there are independent farmers that are against 37 because they see it as an attempt to put them under constraints that don't affect the people that are in the organic food business, because there are certain things written into the law that say they can't call certain products natural, even if they don't contain GMOs. That seems kind of weird to me. If your product contains no GMOs, right, and you have to label it contains GMOs because you can't label it natural, isn't that kind of, in fact, being discriminatory? Yes, we have a right to know. Yes, we have a right to know, and yes, we have a right to have things regulated. And as I say, it's not the right to know or the labeling I'm against. It's about a law that I think is deeply flawed in terms of the things that it leaves exempt from labeling. Food that an independent organization has determined has not been knowingly and intentionally produced or commingled with genetically engineered seed or genetically engineered food, provided that such determination has been made pursuant to a sampling and testing procedure approved in regulations adopted by the department. This is not a simple, these are foods that are exempt. And the thing I have to say is that if, in fact, you're willing, I shouldn't say swear on a stack of Bibles, because that might not be considered a valid source by a lot of people. If you're willing to swear on a stack of Bibles or that your food is not genetically modified, then should you be allowed to have it in the market without a label? 646.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, I was just wanting to talk about the genetically modified food. And yeah. I don't see a problem with it. I think they should kill as many fat peoples and niggers as possible.
Well, aren't you sweet and
I think
clever.
It'd be really good. I think you know it'd be a really good idea. I mean, society would be better if they did
you know
kill
what?
All the niggers and fat people with it.
Are you fat?
No, I'm not fat, but I think the fat people should die. I don't see a problem with it. I mean, they're taking the government's money away with their fatness.
How old are you?
Do you even lift, faggot?
How old are you? Are you afraid to tell me how
old? I said, do you even lift, faggot?
Are you afraid to tell me how old you are?
I'm 19
how many,
years old.
19. Have you ever grown in your beard yet?
Oh, yeah, I have. I come in it every day, generally. I come in my beard every day, and I find it makes it grow very well.
Person, aren't you? This is a young man, 19, that's gone through the educational system that can grow a beard so he can come in it every day. He's really, really clever. What's your name?
My name is David Davidson. Thank you very much.
What?
David Davidson.
Are you in college?
Yes, my name is David Davidson.
With material like that, you must have been educated in the public education system.
The College of Jimmy Russell.
You got to wash your ass.
Well, we have an example of some intelligentsia there. A 19-year-old man, if he's telling me the truth, we don't know, David Davidson, that actually is growing a beard that he likes to come in. Where do these people make this stuff up? I mean, that almost sounds self-deprecating. A product of the educational system and a real contribution to, in fact, the dialogue. It's a useful conversation. It's useful to let people like that, in fact, have some of their due, some airtime, so that people listen to the archives can listen to what we're, in fact, producing in this country, in this educational system, you know, at the age of 18. He's certainly someone that they're going to, in fact, want to hire someplace. What, you know, any comments, anyone? You know, I think it's fascinating. The good news is he has to live in the society that will be built of he and his friends in the future. And he's found that his voice can in fact issue forth expletives, and he can talk nasty and dirty or whatever, racist. What did his mother teach him? I wonder if his mother would in fact have taught him to talk like that. Maybe. 18, his mother... I don't know. She's probably going to be a young one. Back to this issue about civility. Now, actually, by the way, that is very idiocracy oriented. It's a society that we're living in, and you know, we can't. See, I don't know how you turn back the clock of time. I know I've also been thinking recently, when you look at the totality of the universe, and the expansion of the universe, and all that we don't know, you know, we've talked about God, we talked about religion and all that. One of the things I find fascinating is throughout the whole thing is where does the past fit in? You know, can we, in fact, go to the past, or can we... Or how does that fit in to our whole structure of what we know. And if we were to look at the world and we were to look at eternity, how would it be if we had timelessness and we lost time? I want to get back to, you know, there again. Can you, in fact, ever get back to a place of civility? You know, we live in a time of super hypersensitivities. And we live in a time where people have adamant beliefs about how they see the world, and with fundamentally, if you don't see it the way they do, it's not even that you're wrong. It is just that you're wrong. There's no room for discussion. And where does that leave the world? Because I say that most of the stuff that's known in the world is a very small fraction of what is present in the universe. I wonder where that guy could get a job. Maybe he could be like the young man I was listening to today that we're in fact talking about, young men going into the service, shifting gears here again, going into the service because they wanted to get an education. And as I listened to that, I sat here clearly. I think it's great that young people want to get an education. I think it's great that if you do military service, you can get an education. And where this is all going to tie together, and where it ties together, and it's kind of a continuation, is what kinds of things do we draw relationships between that when really pressed don't make sense, don't in fact add up. So anyway, they're talking about, the one young man was talking about how, you know, yeah, it's, you know, he had friends that went in the service and went in there for an education. Now, that's great. That's got to be, you know, much like this last young man that's been educated in our system. That's what an Army recruiter wants. That's what an Army recruiter wants, is someone that says, oh, if I join, I can get a free education if I join the Army. Because you know what? Once you sign those papers and once you sign the dotted line, you're in a contractual agreement. And the Army really doesn't, or Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, the military doesn't really care that you signed up to get an education. What they care about is they got another body to be cannon fodder if necessary, grist for the mill, because the job of the military is to go in harm's way when called upon to do so. Notice I didn't say necessary. I said to go into harm's way when called upon to do so. When the commander-in-chief tells the troops to move out, they must. And, you know, you can sit there and you can, in fact, say, but wait. I joined the Army. I joined the Marines here. I didn't join to go over to foreign lands and kill people. I joined the Marines to get a college education. I was thinking tonight when I thought about that one, I was thinking about I should go into the casino manager when I lose my money and say, I don't understand. I came into the casino to win. I'm broke now. I don't understand this. I'm supposed to go home with a pocket full of money. You know, where are our cognitive and intellectual skills, you know? You know, we vote on things because they have a great label. We buy things because we see these great television ads. They're promising to do things that they have never done for human beings from the beginning of time. Use the example of the Abilizer before. Is if you're watching the person on the television doing the Abilizer, they probably don't need it. And if you're looking down at your gut and you can't see your toes, you shouldn't be holding your six-pack, your breath for a six-pack in the next couple of weeks, unless it's for a six-pack from a liquor store so you can sit down and drink more beer and eat more popcorn. You know, we really are a funny species. I wonder if there's any other species on the planet at all like human beings. I wonder if you got down, in the ant kingdom, if they have their equivalent of God, what they believe God is. When one of us steps on the ant hill, they see it as an act of God. I really, really wonder sometimes. And everyone definitely knows. Everyone really knows. Sagittarian in chat here, haven't been following the whole conversation, says China is going to eat us alive. I have a friend that would tell you that that's not true. And they would argue vehemently with you, because what they'd say is that for every opportunity, every expansion of China, what we find happens is we, in fact, benefit from that, because it changes the trade balance more in our favor, because they want our goods. But I don't know. I don't know about those things. I'm just a guy walking around with an opinion like the rest of you, and whether I, in fact, have bothered to look things up or not, it's still an opinion. Still an opinion. Let me pull up. I had some other things I wanted to pull up here. Let me go through my stack of stuff, because there's always lots of stuff to talk about. I was talking about the GMOs there. I want to find one from the because we live in a time, it seems to me, where we're all. Here's one that was a good piece. I brought this up indirectly last night. I brought up HAARP, the high altitude amplified resonance or something. I have to look it up and see what it does. And I brought up the fact that if in fact HAARP can do, see, people believe in HAARP, the government is in fact messing with the weather. Well, in my opinion, that's an interesting variable, because that adds a new gist, that adds a whole new perspective to when you start looking at what you call climate change, even global warming. Because if in fact, yes, that's anthropogenic in a certain way. It's anthropogenic in the fact that humans are messing with the ionosphere. But it's not anthropogenic in the respect that we're putting more and more carbon dioxide out into the outer space, and that's what's changing the temperature. So which is it, one way or the other? And if we can control the weather, boy, if you really want to go down the conspiracy route, is then what are they setting us up for with the droughts and the floods? What is the purpose of the current hurricane coming out on our East Coast? Here it goes. Solar realignment could spell decades of cooler temperatures on Earth. Looks like the sun is up to some more crazy stunts. The website Asahi Shimbun reports that the sun may soon have four poles, according to the research of the National Astronomical Observatory of Japan and the Riken Foundation. This, in turn, could lead to much colder temperatures in the Earth, starting as soon as May 2012. Whoa, it's been a cold summer around here. I don't know where you live, but it certainly has not been as warm here as I can remember it in past summers. In fact, we only really had one scorcher day, and that was just recently. And if in fact that happens, will in fact the polar caps in fact begin to refreeze? Will the oceans start to recede in level? And will all the franticness we've been through regarding global warming, global climatic disruption, will that all be a thing of the past? Or is that being done by the government, folks? Have we learned, in fact, wow, that sounds like local, Bill. I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing you. Bill wrote here in the Exposure Express wrote, "Be cubed. It was hot as hell here, and last winter we got very little snow." But what you need to understand, Bill, this is global. That was local. That was local stuff. You know, you got hot so I could stay cool. See, what do we know? What do we believe? And, you know, in this fast, everyday, ordinary news cycle, ongoing news cycle, how do you know who to believe on what? You know, I don't know. I spent an awful lot of time looking stuff up. Because, you know, when people tell me something, when people on Facebook friends post something, if someone tells me something, I'm not just dismissive. I'm always willing to accept the fact that I, in fact, have missed something, that I don't understand something, that there's something that I haven't put quite in a right perspective. And I wonder how many of you, in fact, do that. I've raised the question over and over. Maybe not as many times on Blog Talk Radio, but when you go out to do research, how do you approach it? Do you go out to do your research and look up things from an objective standpoint, or what perspective do you go out looking to do your from what perspective do you go out to do your research? Let's say it has to do with GMOs. Do you go out with an objective, open mind and say, well, what's known about it? You know, I had somebody very intelligent come in the other day, and what I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. There's a lot of truth in it, but it's not necessarily the whole answer, in my opinion, but we were talking about our propositions here. I'll tell you how I know. Very educated, very intelligent, very degreed person. I'll tell you how I do it. I look and see who's funding it, where the money comes from, and then I know. That's certainly one criterion to determine the validity of what's being said is who's, in fact, is backing it. But, you know, there's that old saying, even a broken clock can be right twice a day. And the thing that I throw out to you is if you're going to vote on a law, if you're going to vote on a candidate, if you're going to vote on something else, then, in fact, shouldn't you dig deeper? Shouldn't you take the time to read the law? Shouldn't you understand the nuances of the law? Because after all, that's what's in fact going to govern you. So let's take this one step farther. I said earlier that we don't have a lot of civility much anymore. And so I'm going to see if I can, in fact, get into a spicy, dicey topic of the day, and that I need to, in fact, I'm trying to look it up. And that was the comment by Murdoch last week. Let me look it up. How do you feel about the comment by Murdoch and abortion? Richard Murdoch and abortion. Do you think there's any justification for that or any reason that a politician should in fact say that? Do you think there's any merit to what they say? Because basically, I'm trying to look up the exact quote here. I don't have it in front of me. But basically, he said after struggling for a long time, I came to the conclusion. This is paraphrased right now. I don't know where I can find this even quicker. I came to the conclusion that in the way it's being portrayed, every abortion is the will of God, or every pregnancy from rape is the will of God. And it certainly has outraged people. certainly has outraged women. But how do you feel about that? How do you see that? I got to find this. The actual quote was actually, I struggled with it myself for a long time. But I came to realize that life is that gift from God. And I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, it is something that God intended to happen. Now, that's been taking a lot of pounding in the news and in the press. He has. Do you think that was a cold, heartless thing to say? Do you think there's any merit to it? Do you think that, in fact, you know, that the person that was raped, the woman that was raped, you know, God intended that to happen to her? And do you think that's a justification of rape? There was the other one, too, that I can't remember his name right off, that made the comment. 404, you're on the air.
Hey, I got a question.
Yes.
If God knows everything, and he knows what's good or bad for you, or what's best for you, how could you possibly know to make a judgment? I mean, don't the Christians always quote something about, like, why the pot cannot question the something like that, something about some clay and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think
the potter cannot question the you know which verse I'm talking about. Something about the potter, the creation cannot question the creator, but they talk about it in the form of pottery or something like that. So I'm like, how could you possibly know what's good or bad for you just because you think it's bad? If you're not the knower of all things, you can't possibly make that decision. So it might seem bad, but, like, what if this baby that's conceived from rape, like, turns out to be, like, the ruler of the world, and you abort it?
How about the one that brings all people together? How about the fact maybe... And this is what's interesting is Jack, you've called up. You know, this particular statement has been taking a lot of heat, and I read a good piece about it by someone else, and I don't know whether they're a Christian or whatever. And their comment was to the person that it happened to. Actually, this is probably a very good answer to your question. The person that happened to the extent that they believe in God, in the will of God, that's their right to make that statement. But it's not the right of someone else to make that carte blanche statement to others regarding what goes on in their life, much like the comment last night in overtime where the caller said that you can't be happy unless you have a relationship and believe in God. You understand what I'm saying there? Uh-oh. Are you there?
I'm here. No, I'm here. I just have my phone on mute.
But see, one of the best comments I heard on that, see, first of all, I think the word parse, break this down. I think that you can chop it up and dice it and slice it quite finely. First of all, that is not the kind of thing that a politician should be saying in the public arena anyway. Certainly politicians are entitled to their own religious points of view, But by the same token, if it's a secular nation or there's a separation between church and state, not separation from religion, as people would tell me, but, you know, render under the state has its right, the church or kingdom of God has its rights. You can, in fact, say that that's probably something they should keep to themselves, that particular comment, especially when it gets into the realm of rape. But on the other hand, I think that there's a certain beauty about it, not in my agreement with the statement, but the fact is when, you know, there's that old saying, loose lips sink ships. And when someone's willing to say what's going on in their brain, at least you know it's out there. You can't talk about anything being hidden anymore, you know, the hidden agenda. So he was incredibly stupid from a political standpoint to say something like that, because a good politician holds their cards close to their chest. Now, the upside, in fact, is that the people get to know where he stands on that issue and how tightly his religion has him bound up in terms of what he believes. So you don't necessarily see that as an insult to women or unthinking, unspeaking, insensitivity. That's the better word.
If I was a devout Christian, I wouldn't. I would think that people don't know the will of God, and just because you think something is bad or it seems bad don't mean that God didn't have a bigger plan.
So let's take the position of a non-Christian. From a non-Christian standpoint, how do you feel about that?
Well, I can't take the position of a non-Christian.
Well, there you go. Let's invoke Aristotle here, my dear. Is hold two opposing thoughts in your mind at the same time.
I mean, the reason why I say I can't take the because it's a Christian thought. It's a Christian thought that says that, you know, the reason why this happened is because God wanted it to. And, I mean, like, if you wasn't a Christian, you would think that was terrible. But as a Christian, I can't see how you can argue with that. I'm not a Christian, by the way.
I think
like a Christian. I can think like a Christian, and, you know, I like Christians. They're my friends.
Sure, you have them over for dinner every once in a while, too. Like,
no, I don't have them over for dinner, but they're my friends.
Hey, you know, there's enough love to go around. There's a lot of room for love for Christians, Buddhists, you know, Muslims.
Of a Christian. If you're a Christian,
what?
You can't have, I mean, if you're a Christian and God knows everything and you don't, you can't say that just because something bad happened to you that it's not from God. Everything is from God.
Well, you know, this is interesting because at the end of it, he says that is something.
This is a Christian point of view, not mine.
No, I understand that. But the very ending statement is very interesting there, because it says that it is something that God intended to happen. Now, you know, depending on what views you take from a Christian standpoint, you know, there's predetermination, preordination, and I don't know what the other one is. And the difference between predetermination and preordination is that, as I recall, God has his pinkies in the one and directs the affairs of human. In the other, God knows the beginning from the end, but does not have his or her pinkies directly in it. Which I just thought is something totally unrelated to this conversation. I have to throw out there that I think is a scream, and that is there's a story in the Bible, as I recall, where they're trying to trick Christ, and they said, you know, the one brother dies, leaves his wife barren with no children. So in the Jewish tradition, you know, she now becomes the wife of the second brother because you cannot have any offspring. He dies, the next one becomes her husband. And the whole story ends after about 6-8 of these guys die. You know, they ask Christ, whose wife will she be in the resurrection and in heaven? And Christ says in that passage, as I recall, says no one's, because, you know, in the resurrection you shall be as angels. So in a very strange way, what struck me, the reason I brought it in there, talking about it from the perspective, is from that standpoint, that would seem to me that God would be genderless. You know, why do you make God Big Papa?
Did you say Big Papa?
Yeah, the Big Daddy. God, I'm not laughing at you. I do this.
If you can't have a husband or wife in heaven, will you have a mother or father?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that's like a universe.
You see how this is, Vern. At some point, religion gets ridiculous, right? You do see that, right?
Jackie?
You can't have a logical conversation about religion without it within maybe like the first 15, 20 minutes of the conversation getting really silly. Because you hear people all the time talk about they can't wait to, you know, like an older person, you know, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And or like Fred Sanford, he always used to grab his heart and say, Elizabeth, I'm coming. Didn't
yes.
they read the Bible? Is no husband and wife in heaven.
Well,
so
you know,
like
you know,
think the heaven is like really, really made up in their head, because there's nowhere in the book where it says this is what's going to be. It says you're going to be in a room with animals with eyes and stuff all over their skin. And all they're going to say is, holy, holy, holy. You're going to be in a room or wherever, and you're going to be saying, holy, 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 the Lord is the greatest all day, all night.
That wouldn't be so bad. The question, the thing that becomes problematic is it will be for eternity.
Yeah, this is for eternity. And that would be bad to pet a beast with eyes all over his body? And like three-headed monsters?
Well, you know, listen, I used to have wonderful conversations with my handicapped friend. You know, we'd have long discussions about this because I am of the firm opinion and belief. These are just my beliefs, people. You know, they are no more or less valid than anyone else's, is that I think that whatever this universe is comprised of, past, present, and future, is a tremendous mystery, something that we don't know, and I don't know if we'll ever know and understand. And I think that if most people really stop to sit down and think about eternity in heaven, that has to put the chill into them as much as eternal fires of damnation, because, you know, no matter how bad it gets in your life on earth, this might sound crazy, there's an out, we're all going to die, it can't last forever. But, you know, how many days do you have to go down the annals of eternity? You wake up to another beautiful day, another beautiful day, another beautiful day. You know, aren't you going to get bored with that? Or, you know, I've often wondered, is if I was to wake up in the resurrection, what face, body, age, thought process would I have? Would it be the me from 35 years ago, or the me now with the wisdom I have, but with the body that looked 35 years ago? But as Christ said, you know, you'll be of the angels, you know, you won't have gender. Now, that's an interesting proposition. You know, would I recognize, you know, I'll tell you another one. People think about going to heaven, and they say, well, here, I'm going to ask you the question. Don't you think that most people, when they think about going to heaven, they think they're going to be the same person, except without all those things that they have and all those habits and quirks that they have here on earth, those bad things, the bad thoughts? They're going to be exactly who they are, except without all that bad stuff. Don't you think?
Yeah, and that's funny, because when somebody else, like Charles Manson or something like that, not saying that he has, but if he has accepted Christ and he's a changed person, they don't want him in heaven with them.
Yeah, but see, the question is why, number one, and number two, this is what I propose to anyone listening is if you wouldn't know that person. You wouldn't know that person if you woke up tomorrow with everything that was good about you and none of those little quirks and secrets and things that you don't think are so nice and wonderful about you. That's not even the same person. How would you know that person?
But then you wouldn't be the same person.
Well, here's what I know about that.
I mean, if I was to take Vernon and take out everything that made you flawed, I mean, with that, I would either have to take out the things that made you extra good or whatever just to reform you into this new being. You wouldn't be Vernon. You would be something else.
And you might not like me then. You might not like me. Here's what I know. You see, what's going to happen is here's my vision of eternity. Instead of me sitting behind the BTR mic here, I'm going to be listening to you. I'm going to be dialing in, and you know what? Instead, overtime will go for as long as we want it. Now, that's kind of heaven. We won't have to end the day.
You know, there's nobody's vision of heaven matches, but everybody is going there to have a good time regardless of how much wrong they do. Just because we don't make burnt sacrifices no more, everybody thinks that they get to go and not be punished, and they can be the same jacked up people they are, but everybody else in heaven going to be a different breed. Oh, will it be hate in heaven? No. If anybody was murdered in your family, and that murderer accepted Christ as their personal savior and repented, they're going to be in heaven too. So you might as well start loving them on earth.
I know, but right, you know how hard that is for people to accept and come to grips with?
Then they're not a real Christian.
Well, I didn't disagree with that.
That lady said that last night on the show. She said that Jesus said, love each other as yourself. And that's she said it. That's the greatest commandment of them all. How could you love somebody that, like, took out one of your parents or your child or a sibling? You would have to get over it in order to go to heaven.
Or you're going to suffer for an awful long time. You're going to suffer for as long as you can't get over it. If everyone's saved, and you're still holding a grudge, 100 trillion, 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 billion, million years from now, you know, that's an awful long time to hold a grudge, absolutely.
But I don't think that people could. I mean, if you accept God and you accept the Bible as the infallible word of God, you must admit that you do not know what God has in store, and just because you think something is bad doesn't mean that God don't have a plan. So I will have to, like, totally agree with that person that said that a race could be a gift from God.
Jackie, I'm gonna hit you with something. I will find it. It's on my other computer, and but it's the book called Memnock the Devil. I've mentioned that before, and there's an interesting premise in that. Is Memnock is the devil, and I don't know if you've read any of Anne Rice's book. That's the only one I've read. She's famous for writing a whole series of books on vampires, Vampire Chronicles.
I only saw the movie.
Yeah, I saw the movie too, and I was totally lost. And then when I read the book Memnock the Devil,
beautiful movie. I loved it.
Yeah, I need to watch it again because
the interview with the vampire. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I need to watch it again because, like I say, I was totally lost. But after reading Memnock the Devil and knowing who Lestat is, it became a very fascinating book because Lestat is wandering around and he has this sense that someone's following him. And as the book progresses, who's following him is Memnock the Devil, Satan, really. And he wants to take Lestat on a journey through heaven, hell, and purgatory, because he wants to recruit Lestat, the head vampire from Chronicles of the Vampire, to join him in winning the battle against God. Now, I know that there, you have to read the book, folks. And Anne Rice was a Catholic. She's very religious or spiritual. She's come to a point that she takes issue with things of the Catholic Church. But there's a point in there when they start talking about it. Memnock says there's tons of stuff I found fascinating in the book. And the first one is he makes a comment. He says that there was a time before time was brought into existence and things were timeless, and it was different. I don't think a lot of us, in fact, have spent much time considering the difference between eternity and timelessness, whether there is one or not. I know that there's a philosopher by the name of Wittgenstein. I've said this before. He's got a great quote, you know, it says, if you think of eternity not as infinite moments in time, another moment, you know, for infinity, but as timelessness, then we're always in timelessness, even now, even as we die. But the second thing is Memnock talks about many conversations he's had with God, and he's come to a conclusion that the reason that there's the one thing that even God doesn't know, and the reason he kicked the whole thing off, creation and the universe and everything, is hopefully out of its how it evolved, he would in fact understand that one thing that he didn't, which I thought was fascinating. It's a really good, really good book, really good read, really philosophically.
I have one more thing to say about that you know, that proves that God can make bad things happen for good reason. And that's the story of Job. God went and got the devil or Satan or whoever you want to call him to tempt Job. And he killed all of Job's family and he did all of these terrible things to Job. But in the end, God knew that Job wouldn't turn on him, even though Job, you know, he said he was faithful. He didn't know why God was doing all those bad things to him. And nobody say, well, God didn't do them, because God did tell the devil to go do these things. The devil didn't do it on his own. God told him to go and do it. So God does make bad things happen to people for good reason. So I think that politician that said that, people need to, like, cut him some slack. He only got that from the Bible. The Bible is the infallible true word of God. People need to
stop
trying to
change that. So you think the people are being too harsh? Then you think people are being too harsh on him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question then. Do you think there's a certain hypocrisy in humanity? Because, you know, you've heard the term over and over about being politically correct. Do you think that the reactions people have had to what Murdoch said are, there's a threat of hypocrisy in them?
I don't know what that means. What do that mean?
To be a hypocrite. Actually, there's two.
In him.
So, yeah, you think that people are being more hypocritical in their condemnations of him than he is in the respect that he merely said what he believes.
Yeah.
You know, I want
mean,
to see,
didn't
you
come up with this on his own. It's in the Bible.
It's all God's.
He just like said, "Well, I have no proof that God makes bad things happen, but even though rape is a bad thing, if it happened, it came from God." I don't think he just like said that was just something that just popped up out of his head. It's in the Bible. The Bible is the true word of God, right?
Well, you know, certainly there are people that believe that, you know, 100% they believe it came directly from God. There's an interesting thing about Job. You bring up the book of Job. And one of the things I found fascinating, because you don't find it in Christianity for the most part, but Job literally, you know, in his own way argued with God. You know, why are you doing this to me? I've done nothing to deserve this. Remember in the story? And somehow in Christendom, to where Christianity's gotten today, there's no room to talk to God, and if you will, argue with God in an attempt to have a better understanding. And I think that's strange.
I would say he wasn't arguing with God. He was reasoning. He was trying to find out why did he deserve that faith. You know,
Well, yeah. You know, what I'm saying is he. What I mean by arguing, maybe I didn't use the best words there. Is what I mean is he was willing to, you know, God, I don't understand. You know, why me? That you know, I could pull up the Book of Job and we could go through it. But certainly, you know, he was willing to go through whatever was put upon him. But at the same time, he certainly, you know, he didn't shake his faith, but he certainly wondered why, and he asked the heavens, as I recall, and God, you know, why is this happening to me? What have I done? You know, what have I done to deserve this? And even if I'm totally wrong on that, I have this very strange notion personally that any God can't withstand human questioning or the questions from humans or gets indignant about it is kind of a strange God, pretty insecure.
Well, God tells you that he is jealous, so that answers that question.
Of what?
Well, he does. He tells you he is jealous. And people say, well, there's only one God. God doesn't say that. He says, you shall not have any other God but me. That's what he said. Because
I know. You shouldn't put any other God before you.
If there are no other gods, and these other gods don't exist, and they have no power, what's to be jealous of? That's just like saying, you burning, you're jealous of your microphone. Why are you jealous? Because the microphone amplifies the sound of my voice to other people, so people can hear me, and I'm jealous of this damn microphone. That's silly. But God has the right to be jealous of things that cannot take his power away if he wants to. Why? Because that's what the Bible says, and the Bible is the word of God. God tells you he's jealous. Therefore, people being made in his image have the right to be jealous. God is a little confused because, you know, even though those are his words in the Bible, he sometimes kind of mix them up and say stuff one time and then go back and say it a different way. People do that too. So, you know,
well, Jackie, why wouldn't it?
People make mistakes.
Jackie, why wouldn't we? If we're God's children, and God goes back and forth, don't we in fact learn from our parents?
Some people do. The goal is to be better than your parents, but God is the Almighty. You'll never be better than him. You are endowed by a sin from some people that you never met and is going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
Now, what would God say if God was sitting in on this conversation?
He probably would laugh at us.
That's what I love about you. You're absolute. I think that God would. I think that God's got a tremendous sense of humor.
The first thing he would laugh at is the fact that we actually believe that he wrote a book with mistakes in it. I think he would find that real funny.
but then say it was his words. You got a good point there. If there are mistakes in it, and we wrote them down, but maybe that's why. That's why people have been calling it the Word of God, like, forever. You know, they don't want to take responsibility for the mistakes that they'd put into things. They just blame them on God. I've often wondered, as you know, the story of Isaac. You know all this stuff. You're well-read on the Bible because were brought up in Catholic school, right?
To be honest with you, anything I know from the Bible, I probably learned it on my own because in Catholic school, it's like really, it is just like in public school taking a math class. They teach you what they want you to know. And all the rest of the Bible, you just skip over. You only learn the stories that they want you to know.
Do you have a favorite story from the Bible?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me what it
is. I don't
know
where it's at right now. I think it's in, it might be in Genesis, probably towards the end of Genesis, where the guy, I cannot think of his name, and I can't think of the daughter's name, but she was trying to get pregnant. I think it might be the same story you was telling before. And the old man, he went to see the prostitute, and then the lady, she pops up pregnant, and they say, how the town is like, you know, we should stone you to death because you're pregnant and you're a widow. There's no way that you should be pregnant. She said, well, I know who got me pregnant. I have his cloak. And she brings out the old man's cloak, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's mine. That's my favorite. That's so funny. Hilarious.
Well, at least someone owned up to it, right?
I want to know this. Why is it in that Bible? Maybe somebody can tell me, because I haven't, like, really learned all the 613 laws, but why is it that if a bride is found to be not a virgin, that she must be stoned to death, but there is no provisions or laws or rules for a man who's not a virgin? Who is he having sex with if he's not a virgin?
Well, that's probably because men wrote the Bible.
That could be a woman.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the passage. I says, if any man takes a wife and goes into her, then turns against her. Let's see if I can get the whole thing here. It's in Deuteronomy. If any man takes a wife and goes into her, and then turns against her and charges her with shameful deeds and publicly defames her and says, I took this woman, but when I came near her, I did not find her virgin. Then the girl's father and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. Well, that sounds perverted. And the girl's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man for a wife, but he turned against her. Behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds, saying, I did not find your daughter a virgin, but this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. That sounds really weird. And they shall spread the garment before the elders of the city. So the elders of that city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall fine him. Wow, if a guy falsely accuses his wife of not being a virgin, then he gets fined. And they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give it to the girl's father, because he publicly defamed a virgin of Israel, and she shall remain his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if this charge is true, that the girl is not found a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death, because she has committed an act of folly in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house. Thus you shall purge the evil from you. I'm glad that it's a good thing a lot of people didn't live in those times.
So that means that all of the prostitutes back in those days were not of Israel.
Well, I don't know. That could be, but this only talks about a woman being publicly married. Now, I remember watching a thing on the History Channel about the early days of the church, the Catholic Church. This is after Christ was here, and that they believed that the prostitution was just a necessary aspect of humanity and human beings. They encouraged the existence of prostitutes, as I remember the show. Because men had, they had to sneak on out from time to time to get something else. The Bible's a fantastic...
That's the whole point. Why they had to sneak? Why is it that a woman had to be a virgin, but a man didn't have to be a virgin?
It's a double standard, dear. In those days,
if he wasn't a virgin and he was contaminated and she was a virgin, he would immediately contaminate her. she would no longer be pure in marriage because he wasn't pure when he came into her or came unto her. That's what they say in the Bible, came on.
Well, you know, clearly throughout the evolution of history, you know, women have gotten the short stick, or however you want to say it. You know, there's not been equality under the law. You know, women were substandard humans. They were actually chattel and property in those days. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but in the evolution of humankind, that kind of was the case back then, the dutiful wife, you know. You don't hear what Christ said, like, he who's without sin cast the first stone, you know, you don't, which takes me to another thing.
Everybody leaves out the rest of that story, too. He told the lady, go and sin no more. He didn't tell her just because they couldn't stone her to go and still be a prostitute.
Yeah, but the other thing I was thinking about that I started to say is you don't hear of any woman being filled with sin, hanging around ready to stone her. And then my mind drifted and thought, I wonder if there was a lesbian in the crowd.
Hey,
going, oh.
I think lesbianism was big back then. Please don't let the Bible people call in and try to go off on me, but I'm still trying to figure out. I know you've seen it on my Facebook page before. Nobody even took a clue to answer the question, but I wanted to know, like, did Abraham, was he, like, really happy that his girl had a girlfriend?
I don't know. Maybe
didn't have children or anything. Why did his wife need a maid servant? That's
well, that was well. I agree, but you know, they had servants, and I believe they had slaves back there in that particular point in time.
Okay, you have a maid servant that you want your husband to have sex with.
That's kind of kinky by today's standards, but, you know, maybe it was an open relationship, Jackie.
I'm like, you think they weren't screwing around anyway?
Go back to the Bible there again. Remember the story of David and Bathsheba, you know, and then he gets her pregnant, and he says, hey, you know, you got to go get your husband to have sex with you. So they won't know it's mine, you know, Uriah the Hittite. Then he had his generals put him up in the front of the battle so he'd get killed. And he was certainly sorrowful, and it says that in the Bible. I haven't read that part in ages, so I am doing my from recollection rendition. Anyone's welcome to call in and correct me on that. But, you know, but of David's lineage came Christ. It's funny when you think about all that. It's funny when you go back through and do all that, you know. And Absalom, David was one of David's favorite sons, as I recall, but he rebelled against his father. He's the one that, you know, was vain, had the long hair, and got it caught in the tree as he's fleeing. And they came upon him and slew him with darts. The Bible's a very interesting book. Maybe we should pick out selective chapters here, and I'll set up.
Oh my God, I'm trying to have a Wednesday Bible study show. No.
you don't want to do my Bible. Well, people might enjoy my Bible study class because I think it's much like what you've been bringing up here. Is that I said this before in other shows, over times and things, we've had this discussion. There's a lot of people that when they say Bible study, what they really mean is I want to tell you what it means. And for me, I think that if you're going to have Bible study, you need to really look and see what's going on in the chapter. You know, there's a lot of interesting stuff that I've also heard too through time. There again, History Channel, whether you believe it or not, has some interesting stuff. It had a piece on the parting of the Red Sea, and there are people that believe that that's a translation era, and it actually refers to a big battle that took place in the Sea of Reeds, R-E-E-D-S, and the Egyptian chariots. The Sea of Reeds was a very swampland, and they got caught up in that while the Israelites escaped. And there was another one that was fascinating, because it was the one about the firstborn passing over all the houses that didn't have the taking all the firstborn. And yeah, and it was they have found
that. You know that really happened.
Tell me.
It happened in Cameroon. In Cameroon, Africa, the template that really happened recently, not recently like yesterday, but recently, as in not back in Bible days, but like in this generation.
Yeah, where the swamp gas came up, and it's heavier than air, and the children were lay low to the ground and suffocated, is my understanding what happened there. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, with a plate shifts under the ocean, and the gas comes up. The gas starts killing the animals in the ocean. The flies come. Blah, 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 blah. There's a whole scientific explanation for that, and it has happened in today's time. But
Did
you know the reason why the children slept like that, and back in those days, in that dynasty, the elder children, I'm trying to think, how did it go? Where the other, it's either one or the other, the children had to sleep lower or higher. Because
the elder one got the lower bunk bed. The lower one got the elder one got the lower bunk bed, as I recall, and that's why the youngers were spared, as they were above the suffocating gas level.
Yeah, it's like a sign of superiority amongst the siblings or something like that.
Yeah,
like some type of custom where they slept that way.
There's times it's not in your best interest to be firstborn. You know, the firstborn can take a lot of heat depending on the thing. Anyone that's out there that wants to call in, you're more than welcome to jump in. We're having kind of a hodgepodge discussion of the Bible, Christians. This was brought about by the Murdoch comment, where he said, I struggled with it myself for a long time, but I came to realize that life is that gift from God. And I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, it is something that God intended to happen. He took a lot of heat from that, and I put the question out there, should he have, or are there other interpretations? And Jackie joined in with me, and we've been discussing both kind of the basis and foundation, what Christians believe, some of the things they believe, some of the things that seem to be at odds and strange about the Bible and biblical teachings, maybe even inconsistencies, and where does the Bible fit into our world today? I kind of put it there. But that's a very – now a good politician might have said, I've struggled with this for a long time, but I came to believe that life – is that gift from God, and I think that even in terrible situations, that not knowing God's will, it was meant to be.
I don't know how people could believe in God and think they know his will. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
you
know,
that you don't know. How do you know if you don't know? You can't have it both ways. I really get irritated when I hear people say they're claiming their blessing, or since they did a certain thing, they know their blessings are to come and certain stuff like that. It just like really, really irritates me. Like, who died and made you God that you know what your blessing is?
Well, Jackie, do you know the Lord's Prayer from the Bible? Could you recite it to me?
Yeah. Our Father,
once they restarted
for real.
Sure, yeah, all the way through, and then I'll make a comment.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now,
yeah, now what's always what I find interesting about that is the disciples came to Christ and says, how should we pray? And the Lord and Christ supposedly came up with that, right? I don't hear anything in there where Christ says, and when you kneel to pray, you should ask God to take care of the troops and the children and help me win the football game and the baseball game. And
go to a Baptist church. Go to any black church, and when they pray, the prayer might be like 5 minutes. Kid you not.
And they throw in everybody the kitchen sink, you know, is ask God. You know, and there's another inconsistency. If you're going to, two football teams come out, you know, come out on the field and they both drop their knees and they both pray for God that they win. Of course, if you put in your will be done, then should the football team say at the end of the game is, wow, what did we do wrong? Because you didn't help us win this time.
It wasn't his will. He probably was rooting for the other team. Who knows? Maybe they prayed harder. I have thought about that. Like, going to Catholic school, I used to run track, and, you know, everybody is on their little side praying. Like, whose prayers is God going to answer? You know what? You didn't do your homework. You was bad to the principal. So y'all going to lose. I'm going to favor this other team because they pray harder and they're better people. Uh-oh.
Now, you know, if God was going to do it right, you know how God should handle that? I got the answer for that. You know how God should handle that, Jackie? They should all come across the finish line at exactly the same time. And then that would be consistent with today's schools where everyone gets a trophy for participating in the game.
And I'm going to tell you one thing, and I know somebody will, like, really disagree with it. The reason why I really think Islam is a better religion than Christianity is because Muslims have to be able to, real Muslims, not any old Muslim off the street, but real Muslims, they have to be able to recite the whole Quran. They have to memorize the whole Quran.
Well, there are Christians that have memorized the whole Bible.
There are Christians that have memorized the whole Bible, but memorizing the whole Bible is not a part of Christianity.
No, it's not. Reading the Bible isn't even part of Christianity for the most part. You don't need to read it to be a Christian.
You can't. It has to be somewhere in seminary or something that the preachers, priests, and all of these people, whatever they come out of seminary being called, that they have to not let the congregation read the whole Bible, or they would be kicking people out the churches. Come on,
well,
Ryan, you know, it would be no such thing as a lady evangelist, which I think a woman could know and love God and want to spread Jesus and God's word just as well as a man. But this is not allowed. I mean, as far as the Bible goes, a woman should not be a preacher, a prophet. I mean, not a prophet, but a preacher or a teacher of the Bible.
But, you know, I've heard that some of Christ's most loyal followers and disciples and the earliest ones that really got the church going were the women in the church, not the men.
But did it say that in the Bible?
Well, you know, I don't. I'd have to go back and read my stuff after, you know, after the book of John, Acts, Romans, and all those things. I don't know.
Well, if it does, then that's another contradiction because it says that it says they should. If it says they shouldn't and they are doing it, then, hey, that's crazy.
But you know, when it comes to God and religion and the religions of the world and the great books of the world, we need to listen to see what one angry Jew has to say when it comes to the religions of the world.
Did I hear correctly that Islam is the greatest religion because you have to memorize it? I really hear that?
She didn't say it was the greatest religion. What she said was that in one respect she thinks that Islam is a better religion, or I won't put words in your mouth, Jackie, you can say it, that Christianity, in that that knowledge and understanding and memorization of the Quran are part of the religious practice.
Hmm. That's fascinating. How about Judaism? How does that stack up to Islam?
Jackie, answer.
I'll rank them about the same. The last one would be Christianity. Out of those three.
What is she saying? Her connection leaves a bit to be desired. She said, "What about?" I didn't get it. What about Judaism and Islam?
She said it would be right up there with the Quran and being a Muslim. You know, what she said was she thinks that being a Muslim is a pure religion in the respect that they're required. I'm paraphrasing what she said. They're required to know.
Let me explain why. It's so many different sects of Christianity, and this is just because it's just so many different views on. And you're thinking they really only concentrate on the New Testament. Mostly all sects of Christianity, they just, like, throw the Old Testament away unless they need to refer back to it for some reason.
Hmm.
And I don't really think that if they read it and they actually studied it, like all of it, I would think that it would be less sects, that they could all come together and agree more often. It's not as many sects of Judaism and Islam as there is Christianity. And you're thinking they have the least amount to agree upon.
Are you speaking on a phone?
What?
Are you speaking into a phone?
Brandon, did you hear what I said?
A mobile phone?
Yeah, she is speaking on a mobile phone.
Could you talk a little bit, not as loud, and maybe an inch more away from the mic?
No.
Yeah. Very hard to understand. And that scratching, what is that? You know, the Jew needs purity when he has a conversation. Much like your love of Islam and the purity of that. I need to have a clean conversation.
I don't have a love of Islam.
But you're loving that. But you are loving. You are loving that phone a little bit too much. Can you back off that phone a bit?
I was just defending Christianity and the Bible for like maybe the last 30 to 45 minutes. So why would you?
Yeah.
Think
can
I?
Let me explain something to somebody in the chat room. Exposure Express. Noises make me nuts, and if you listen to me when I speak clearly. I think you understand me. I have a good mic. I could call in from my mobile phone and rub it all over my face while I'm talking, but it doesn't make for really good radio. And yes, I like to hear the sound of my own voice. So Vern, I didn't get that. What is the whole point of tonight? Because I heard the statement about Islam being pure or good or just. Oh, that's a good question. Is Islam just? Honestly, I need an interpreter for her, because it's not that she's not speaking English. It's just it's so clouded in background noise and scratching. It's hard to understand.
Well, listen, maybe you should hang up the phone and type your questions in the chat room. Let Vernon read them, and then when I answer, Vernon can repeat everything I say to you. The hearing impaired you.
Yeah, what did you do differently? Because now you sound
great good. Right now.
Yeah. Oops, gonna go back. Wow, it's like taking a hot air balloon ride, right?
Well, yeah, the other day when I had you on, I found your a lot of background noise in your place was kind of distracting, but I lived through it. So anyway,
oh, you should have said something. I would have. Yeah. I had people fanning me. I would have killed them and sent them on their way.
He said it nicely when he asked you, "Was that your kid in the background?" He was being really nice about it. He did.
Yeah, I didn't have any duct tape available, so I couldn't keep him quiet.
Listen, you know, kids have a lot of nervous energy. I live through the noise, and I appreciate your noise sensitivity. We live in a noisy world, and so I've kind of gotten used to being able to try and sort my way through the noise. So, Jackie, why don't you tell One Angry Jew why you made the comment about Islam? I thought it was more of a standpoint, not that the religion was particularly pure. It was more a function of there was a lack of hypocrisy in it, given their commitment to it. Those are my words, not yours. And that commitment being
comparing it to Christianity.
And yet, when you
I wasn't comparing it to itself, or I was comparing
yes.
it to Christianity.
Right. So is Islam just?
All religions are just.
Really? So when
yep.
Islam called for the Taliban to shoot that girl, the one that they took off to England, that was just?
Did the Quran say that they should do that?
I don't know. I don't read the Quran.
Well, when you find out if the Quran said that they should do that,
I'll never find out.
Well,
I don't read the Quran. I just told you that.
Well,
if I don't read the Quran, I'll never find out. Well, no, you parents.
Well, then you can't
research.
Ask questions
you.
To answer. You're not going to never understand the answer because you never read the Quran, so what's the point of answering the question?
You're exactly right. See, I'm a pilot. If you want to talk about aviation, we could talk for hours. But I've never read the Quran. I don't even really care that much. I don't care to
well,
read
why
the
Quran. Are you asking questions about Islam if you don't care?
Sounds like you were defending it.
Well, I told you
no,
I wasn't. I was actually defending Christianity for 30 to 40 minutes.
You were doing what?
She was defending Christianity
mm-hmm.
for 30 to 40 minutes because before you came on, I brought up the Murdoch case and his comments, how I struggled with it myself for a long time, but I came to realize that life is that gift from God. And I think even when life begins in a horrible situation, in that horrible situation of rape, that is something that God intended to happen. And I raised the question is, how did people see that? Did they see that as inconsiderate, unthinking, uncaring, not very bright, this or that? And Jackie said that when you come from a totally Christian background where you believe that all is the will of God, that's a perfectly self-consistent thought to form and statement to make. And then we drifted around about a bunch of other things. And in the course of the conversation, we got to the point right about the time you dropped in that she said that in some ways she feels that Muslims or Islam is a better religion than Christianity, and went on to justify that by saying that at least they have high standards of their people by requiring their people to memorize their holy writings upon which their religion is based. That's the essence of what I got, Jackie. Is that right? Is that accurate? Is that close enough?
Yes.
It was not with respect to it was the best religion of the world, like the one that everyone should assimilate and take up, like it was better than Judaism or anything else. It was in comparison to Christianity based on the fact that most Christians aren't even very well acquainted. Many, I shouldn't say most. Many Christians aren't well acquainted with their own holy scripture. They say it provides the tenets of their religion. So that's kind of the essence and flavor of what got us here in the origin statement. And what I recall Jackie saying, but paraphrased from me. Those weren't her exact words. And you can always go back and listen in the archives to get her exact words.
No, I'd probably need a bad phone interpreter, so it probably wouldn't work.
Now, say that again. Did you?
I would likely need a bad phone interpreter, someone who can listen to bad phone speech and turn it into English.
Well, did I do a relatively good job of that? Did I do a fairly good?
Yeah, no, you're doing a great job. I don't understand how you're doing it though. I'm just baffled by.
It's been about 10 minutes now since he.
Because it almost sounds like you're listening to the
just totally destroyed the flow of everything.
Yes. I'm often accused of that. But it almost sounds like that thing you hear on the Peanuts character thing, you know, with the teacher in the background, wah, 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 wah. Which is, we're getting right around that time of year to watch a lot of Peanuts stuff, so.
Yeah, I want to anchor you.
Congratulations, Vernon. Your show has just turned to shit.
That's not very nice of her to say that. I understood that.
I wish you had a round of applause sound clip that you can play right now. The audience is throwing tomatoes.
One angry Jew, would you add to the conversation?
I thought it was a very good question to ask. Wow.
And so would you repeat?
No. I'm just trying to get through this scratching sound. Is this all the time? It's like somebody has a wire loose.
I know. You just need to learn to focus. Or not. I mean.
No, I have great trouble with that. I'm also, if I watch a speech, I count the ums and the ahs.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to say something cogent that goes beyond.
I was getting ready to do that. Yes, I was getting ready to do that, and the scratching thing just pulled me completely off my game. The question that I asked was: is Islam just? Does Islam treat its followers justly? And I don't think she wanted to answer that question for some reason. I don't think Islam does. I think Islam is unjust.
Yes, it does. Just as much as Christianity and Judaism.
Wait a minute. Islam is just as just as Judaism?
Yep. They're all just.
They're all just.
Hinduism, yep, every single one of them. Every religion is just.
So when Islam teaches you taqiyya, which is to lie, in order to do anything that benefits Islam, that's just as well? Can you find me that in the...
Wait,
I'm not finished. Can you find me that in the Judaic teachings? That one is encouraged to lie, taqiyya is the term, so that they can promote Islam? Is that in any of the Judaic teachings?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I really don't know.
That's
He asked me
three questions. The answer to the first question is it in the Quran? The answer to the second question is, no, I can't. And the answer to the third question is, no, I can't.
So you're just going to refer me to the Quran and say, go read it and find out for yourself. I don't really need to do that because I see visually with my own eyes the injustice.
Well, see visually
that's
with
what
your
most
eyes.
People do. If you ask a question and you want to know the answer, regardless if you want to agree with the answer or not or the person that gives it to you, most people are going to go and do some research on their own anyway. So if you're asking me a question go do research on your own, or you just ask a question and whatever answer you get from any person
there's something very powerful going on here. One angry Jew is, you've asked a lot of questions about the Quran and Islam and how they see things, and and done it with a very erudite presentation, and yet you're unwilling to read the book upon which the religion's based. So what would give you...
Well, would you expect me to read the whole book?
Well, no, if you're going to comment on it, if you're going to ask questions on
it,
if you're going to question... If you, well, whatever part you want to know something about. If I'm
how would I know without
on,
some guidance?
Listen, no. When I angry you, I'm going to. I know very little about Judaism, but if I was going to comment on it and start to question you about it, I would start to inform myself on it. One of the easiest things anyone can ever do is keep asking someone else question. With no onus on themselves. And that's the only thing I'm going to say is that what do you want to say about Islam? I don't know if Islam is just within the context and confines of its own religion. I've never read the Quran. You know, is there anything in Judaic law or Judaic writing that says that it's okay to lie to those that you feel are infidels, unworthy, or not of the family or tribe? I don't know. Maybe I have. You know, I haven't searched, and you tell me. I was not brought up in Judaism, but most religions, have different ways of treating people that are within the fold versus those that are outside the fold. So one of the things, you're a very bright person, and I would like to have you participate in, I'd call it a creative or a substantive way, by moving the dialogue forward rather than you're not an attorney in a court of law here, and the show isn't a court of law. So, what do you know about Islam? You know a lot. I thought the piece you gave me last week about the Jews in Iran was
that has nothing to do with Islam. That was just an example.
No, that's a whole different thing. That was a contribution. That was a great piece to move forward with and talk about. But what do you know about Islam?
I wouldn't say that I'm any expert in Islam.
Do you think that the people that practice, practicing Muslims, are any more committed to their religion than most Christians? Or do you think that they themselves go through the motions?
I would think that a lot of them go through the motions. However, I don't understand when I ask a question about deceiving. I don't believe there's anything about deception in any of the Judaic texts, in the Talmud, in the Torah, anything. So, but yet there is in Islam. When I say the word taqiyya, many people in your chat room said, yeah, I know about that. It's well known. It's not well known in the Jewish community.
The end justifies the means, and I have heard that within Islam it's perfectly acceptable to deceive those that are not of the faith for whatever reasons. But that's hearsay on my part. I have not, in fact, researched it. Well, I say I couldn't tell you.
I've heard that come off the lips of experts.
Okay. Give me an expert that I can look up and see their writings on them. One of the things that I would say, okay. Who should I read?
Look for books by the Christian Prince. You'll find it on Amazon. You'll also hear him on Radio Jihad. I don't agree with a lot of what they say because I don't think that everything can be blamed on.
We're going into overtime in 90 seconds, folks. If anyone wants to get in on the end of this live, now is the time to call. Thanks for listening. And, the angry Jew needs love too, folks. I know that you think...
The angry Jew may have his electricity go out any moment. So I'm always having my mobile phone. I got lots of batteries for that.
Do you have a mechanical charger for if we lose power for a long period of time?
So no, I have better than that. I have several UPSs for computers that have enough power to keep that phone going for weeks.
Keep that thing going for a long time. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you all next week. And really appreciate it, as always. We'll go into overtime here and wrap this up. And I will see what the Jew can teach me, the angry Jew can teach me about Islam versus Judaism versus Christianity. 661, you're on the line.
Well, I never came in here to teach anything. I just said I asked questions. So I asked the question, is Islam just? That's a very specific question that could go off in really any direction, couldn't it?
So, you know, what I would in fact say is Islam just? I could not answer that. I don't think that the Taliban, when they shot, they sent a hit squad after that young girl that absolutely went after them for because she wanted to get an education.
Beating the phone against the table again, Vern.
No, that's not Jackie. That's Lori. Is that you?
It was. I was typing a message waiting to come in. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, everybody needs a good mute key.
Yes. Okay, Lori, do you have a comment there? And I'm going to pull up 11111 here. And
well,
who am I speaking to on this line? 111? Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. You're on with Vernon. Who am I speaking with?
I'm Cat Girl in the chat room.
Hi,
and
Cat
I'm just
Girl.
Here listening.
She stalks me.
Okay.
It's
had
bad.
Your hand.
Dream
up.
On,
is
you.
That,
it's sad. She stalks me everywhere I go, Vern.
She's trying to get away from you, I think. Jew,
oh, really,
you know?
Jew, I would like to know if you're on the East Coast, how's that up? Are you being affected by the storm at all?
It's windy.
Hi, Cat.
It's windy, but I'll be unboxing my paraglider tomorrow.
Are you inland, though, or are you near the coast?
I'm in Philadelphia. It's windy. I'll be unboxing my paraglider tomorrow.
So you're not worried? Have you heard any reports if it's pretty bad up there?
I don't know what pretty bad means, but pretty bad would be losing my electricity. That would annoy me.
Well, I mean, are people losing electricity or being told to leave because New York City was...
Being told to leave in Philadelphia? No, nobody's being told to leave in Philadelphia.
No, I'm in on the coast there.
Well, I'm 90 miles from the coast, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
It's windy. Can't wait to unbox the paraglider. Can't wait to get up in the air.
Good.
I keep missing that last word. Spell it for me. You can't wait to unbox the what?
The paraglider.
Oh, the paraglider. I got it. The wind. So if you can fly a paraglider, the winds are not that bad.
Well, 90-mile-an-hour winds will get you right up in the air.
They're pretty hard to navigate in a paraglider, too.
Oh, you could take a Cessna 172, point it into the wind at 90 knots, and that'll lift right off the ground.
Yeah, it won't go anyplace. You might be able to get up to, 40 miles per hour ground speed. Cessna will go, about 150?
Well, I didn't say I was going to turn it on.
You just
needed to point it into the wind.
So,
Cessna only needs about 48 knots to take off.
To take off, yes. If you go full flaps and everything.
No, you don't need flaps at all, 48 knots. Now, if you got a 90-mile-an-hour wind, boy, that's more than enough to get you off the ground.
Okay. So your weather there is windy, but, is there a life, limb, anything like that in danger?
I don't think so.
Okay. But
Chris,
if
you're standing under a tree, that might be a problem.
So you're just annoyed because you can lose your power and stuff. So
it's hard to get work done when your computer won't turn on.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of battery backup. You actually should see about getting
Not for the computer.
Well, how come?
That'd be a lot of battery.
Well, get yourself one of those train batteries. They work really well. Laura, you started to say something.
I was trying to get in. I was going to ask you if he's what might be considered an Orthodox Jew.
No. I'm not considered Orthodox.
Okay. Are you familiar with the term Korban?
No.
Okay. What about
the one, the practice, I forget what they call it, but when they say that Isaiah came back and they do the open and closing of the door business and spill a little wine on the tablecloth.
That's called Passover. That's gone. That's already happened.
Right, but they still practice that, though, do they not?
I don't know. I don't.
You do or don't? That there was noise again.
I do not. You heard somebody getting into their car. It's a very strange show, Vern Scott.
Well, it's an eclectic mix, and you make it strange.
He has people in all sorts of places.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's what makes the world go round. But, you know, in your own, you know, a lot of people find your voice or whatever, your demeanor, I don't know whether it'd be annoying, irritating, or whatever. I'm often curious as to what your purpose is, if you have any.
Truth is out there, Vern. I'm always seeking the truth.
Oh, good. Good. So your question regarding Muslim versus Christianity was to seek the truth in terms of how Jackie saw it?
My bullshit meter was going off, and I needed to check it.
Okay. You might need to tear it and calibrate it.
It's possible, but it was certainly screaming. It was pegged.
Well, you know, that could just be a terror factor. It could be a zero balance factor and stuff.
I don't know.
Could be a function. I understood her point. She was not saying that Islam or Muslims were the preferred religion in the world or anything else. She was just commenting that based on one of the requirements of sacraments, and, you know, it's the last time I repeat it, is that there seemed to be a certain commitment to the religion that was often missing amongst Christians, out of her experience, based on that, would call it maybe a better religion than Christianity from the standpoint of the people that practice it are
right.
More consistent.
That's why my bullshit meter was pegged all the way to the end.
So you don't think that's true, and why not?
I think that sounds like a lot of crap. So it's a good religion because it mandates that you memorize it. Otherwise, we bury you in the sand up to your head and stone you to death. It doesn't make a lot of
sense.
Well,
people are more committed to their religion. Okay. So,
well, if I was going to threaten you with being buried in your head up to in the sand and stoned to death, you might remember it better too. What do you think?
Jackie, you have a comment on that one? That's a good one. You know, of course maybe they do. Salman Rushdie, they went after him. There was not a lot of tolerance within the religion for his writings. At least in Christianity, for the most part, we don't stone people, burn them anymore, or any of that kind of stuff.
I don't think do that anywhere except for...
I don't care what they do in their religion. That wasn't the hope. That wasn't the point I was making. What they do and their religious beliefs and how they do it, I could care less. That wasn't... What I'm saying is who practices more. Even if they said the religion said kill everybody and every Muslim went to kill everybody, at least they do what the religion tells them to do. That's the point.
The religion tells them to go out and kill people and beat them to death and lie.
I wasn't saying that the religion was good or not.
No, that is a point, they're not, you know, religion, whether you believe in the religious tenets, at least they tend to live consistent with what they believe.
Out of fear is what they do.
All religions live out of fear.
I'm not fearful of any rabbis or anybody walking around with a yarmulke on their head. What, are you kidding me?
But you're not much of a practice.
He don't practice. You just said that.
No, I didn't. I said I wasn't Orthodox. I didn't say anything beyond that. If you interpreted anything, then you
well,
have...
Well, maybe from other shows I heard that. This is not the first time I've talked to you.
No.
Well,
again,
the other thing, most of the Jewish families that I know practice Passover, you don't observe that. I don't know, are there do you go to the synagogue on Saturday, on the Sabbath?
No.
you know, or do you see, there again, I'm not one to talk about Judaic religion because I know little about it and I'm not a practicing Jew.
Well, and that's okay. We won't stone or kill you for not practicing. Which I think is good, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's good. You know, I don't think that anyone's going to, any Muslim's going to stone a Christian in the United States. So, well, if they eventually took over, you might, that might be a separate issue. But the
eventually
point Jack was raising.
Wait, where are they taking over aside from Europe and England? And
well,
there's certainly. There's certainly
fastest growing religion in the United States is what I heard the other day.
Well, you got a lot of black people that have picked up the Muslim religion for what reason I don't know. They come out of prison a lot with the Muslim religion. They find that I haven't gotten that either. I'm really wondering why they didn't come out of prison as Jews, but you know, that's. Again, we won't stone them for not doing so.
Yeah, but the number of people coming out of prison going into any particular religion is minuscule compared to the total population of the populations of the religions. Well,
that's
we have
because
2 million
the Muslims people.
No,
are
wait.
Making babies this, like crazy, and we're not.
But see, you're bouncing back and forth there as you tried to.
You know what? Maybe
gadgets.
He doesn't know that. Before, black people were brought here on slave ships. When they were in Africa, they were Muslim.
So?
Maybe that's why they come out of jail Muslims. Maybe they
what
found
they? They have a They have a memory of their ancestors? I don't get it. They have a memory from their ancestors? I don't understand that.
Maybe so. Maybe God came to them, Allah came to them in a dream or something and reminded them of what the religion they were when they were in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Which countries were those that were Muslims where the slaves came from?
Well, in Benin, a lot of the slaves came from Benin. Benin was a Muslim country. Ghana.
It was. You sounded a little unsure.
They were. They still are. If you go look, they still are.
What's the name of the country?
Benin, something like that. B-N-I-N. Ghana.
G-H-A-N-A. I thought you were going
to
tell me they all came from Djibouti.
All of the countries along the east coast of Africa were Muslim then, and they are Muslim now.
Is that right?
That is correct.
No, that is not correct. Ethiopia
has
a Christian history. They've got some ancient books.
But Christianity is new to them. They were Muslims before they were Christian.
Hmm.
I'm black. I know this.
Well, how do you know
that's
this?
Right.
I would never tell you what Ethiopian people were when they came from where they came from.
Wait a minute. You know this because you're black, or you know this because you study?
No, I know this because I studied my people. Yeah, I studied my people before I studied your people. That's common sense. Man know thyself. Don't the Bible say that?
Let's see. Senegambia, Upper Guinea, Windward Coast, Gold Coast.
All of the countries along the east coast of Africa. In those countries, they have big Christian populations, but they're still Muslim countries to this day. They still have big Muslim population in those countries.
Wait a minute. And weren't most of these people that were taken out of Africa...
by your people, the Jews?
Yeah, no, I know this.
Yeah, they were
listen,
taken.
Yeah, I'm,
who,
I, no, no, wait, 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 wait,
biggest,
wait.
Who was the biggest money maker in the slave trade?
Oh, well,
the
exactly
Jews?
Right. No, my uncle Mordechai owned 15
yeah,
slaves.
Yeah, your uncle.
He never
owns some slaves today. I bet you own some slaves, too.
Right, but he's dead for 700 years. But you're right.
You probably got
Mordechai,
some Thailand slaves over there.
Exactly. My Uncle Mordechai.
You got the Thailand slaves outside in the wind right now, bending, building you a turbine or something. I know y'all Jews like to enslave people. Y'all got a whole bunch of laws on how to treat y'all slaves.
How you treating
your wife over there, Jew?
You mean a turban for your head
How
or a
you
turban
treating your wife
here?
Over there? Is your wife a good slave, Jew?
My wife wife was a slave. You know, have you ever been to Thailand?
Is your son going to be a slave? You're going to treat your son like a slave since he's mixed, he's
Make
Thai and Jewish? How are you going
to
treat
your
son?
I want to
know.
Have you ever been to Thailand?
Why? If I go to Thailand, would you enslave me over there, Jew?
No, answer my question. Have you ever been there?
If I went there, would you enslave me?
Yeah. Tell me what culture took over Thailand and
tell
infiltrated
me
Thailand.
How your wife is doing. Are you enslaving her?
Is my wife enslaved in Thailand? I don't know anybody enslaved
in
Thailand.
No. Is she enslaved in your house? Do you treat her like a woman or do you treat her like a slave?
Hmm. Well, are you getting into the sexual relationship or the marriage?
Do you whoop your wife? Do you beat on her?
Wow. Would sticks count?
I don't know. Which way do I tell you that you should beat your wife?
Yeah.
Did you have a daughter?
You are a fault of knowledge.
If your son turns against you, will you beat him? Will you stone him to death?
You mean my 5-year-old?
Yeah, if he's unruly, will you stone him to death?
I might if I was a Muslim, but as a Jew, probably not.
Well, the book tells you that you should stone your unruly child to death.
It does?
You don't follow the...
Which book is
it? Or will you enslave him?
Which book
is
that?
Will you stone him to death, or will you enslave him?
I asked you, which book is that?
You don't ask questions. I ask questions. You didn't know.
Apparently, you don't provide answers either, so you're kind of
answering your questions. Now I ask you questions. Will you enslave your son if he's unruly, or will you stone him to death?
If I was a Muslim, certainly, but as
a Jew, I didn't ask you if you was a Muslim. I'm asking you as a Jew.
You're not listening. You're not listening.
No.
You have to. Let me give you a trick.
Will you enslave your son?
I'm going to give you a trick.
If he is unruly.
To listen,
will
you must
do
shut
it?
Your mouth.
Jackie, let him answer that, would you?
This is what Simon Joe is going to be, and it's going to be like that. And you just
stubborn.
Going to have to
anyway,
hang
I'm
in
going
because I can play this game really good. Bye, Cat.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're very good, Jackie. You're. I'm astounded at your metal. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Mordecai.
So is your wife allowed to talk on the phone?
I'll tell you, for a fact, one of the things, though, about Jackie last week is she said someone wouldn't let you get out what you wanted to say and asked if I would let you speak your piece on my show, which I did. I happen to be someone that believed that people need to be able to have a chance to talk. You have a habit, in my perception, of asking a lot of questions. You've been a lot milder tonight over the last hour or so. And when Jackie says that she was just doing to you what you do to others on other shows.
She's very clever. Is
that true?
Is what true? She asks too many questions. You have to wait for the answer. But she's very clever. Now, if you want to compare my asking a question to what she just did, I ask a question and wait for the answer. She didn't wait for the answer. She provided her own.
Well, you interrupt about mid-answer and ask another one. But that's
I interrupted
okay.
her.
That
are you
is...
kidding me? I interrupted her?
Not
she didn't
tonight,
shut her mouth
tonight,
long enough to get
tonight.
An
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, you did that to me earlier. You asked me 3 questions in a row. Remember I said I'm going to answer these questions? The answer to number 1, then answer to... You did that, yeah. Maybe if you didn't talk so much, you could pay attention.
She's apparently full of resentment. I don't know from what, but many people suffer from that.
We were having a great conversation until you came on the show.
And you resent the fact that I came into the conversation, is that right?
No, but if it's going to be the Jew show, might as well play like you play.
I thought it was Vern's show. Let me explain something to you.
The last time you came on the show, Vernon tried to take control of the show, and he told you, maybe you should go get your own show. You told
Vernon
this is my show. So if that's what type
them.
Of game we play, when
Vernon's
the Jew
show.
Comes on the show, I can be a bigger asshole than you, right?
I would never argue with that.
I would
never argue
with
that. You are a bigger asshole than me. I would never argue with you about that.
I can be.
No. I'm agreeing with you. You're a bigger asshole than I am. I would
never
argue with you about
that. No, that's not what she said. She said she can be. Should she choose? These are not her words. Should she choose to be a big asshole? So where does it all lead? I can't go quite till 2:30 tonight because I have to.
No, that's right. I'm getting thirsty anyway. But Vern, you have control of the mute button. You can
control
the show. So
absolutely.
I haven't taken over anything.
No, absolutely. One of the things that you know, and I've told you again, and Cat Girl, you've listened a couple of times. I'd love to hear you jump in. Is that I give people a fairly wide latitude, and I am not part. I haven't been part of the Blog Talk community as long as most of you that have a knowledge of each other and who annoys who. So maybe that's where I'm remiss and amiss.
I wasn't aware that anybody was annoyed. Is somebody annoyed?
There were comments in chat. I think that I usually don't watch chat while I'm doing the show. But, you know, I've had several people say that you have a way of being on shows that you want to take them over. And so...
Yeah, you know where that came from?
Well, it probably came from the dawn of time. I don't know. Tell me.
No, it came from me. I say it, and they believe it. It is so.
Yeah,
kind of funny when you think about it.
Well, no, it is funny. It's funny, just like last week, and like when you told me that you can take over my show. Well, you know, it's almost like the biblical structure. You know, wherefore by the grace of God, you know, people that are on my show are there because, as you say, I have not muted the button or kicked them or something else. So you're absolutely right. Any host that doesn't know that is a fool. I know that very clearly. Now, I let you on because I'd like to have a productive conversation. And so, here would be my request, like in the future, if something like that comes on, there's a flow of a conversation, and you say, I heard something I found that I didn't understand, get it out, get it over, don't be the Grand Inquisitor, and help us forward the show in a productive, fun, engaging fashion. That would be a request. You know, I can always at some point say, well, okay, I don't feel that he's contributing the conversation, right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, if I hit that button, you'll go. But I think you're an intelligent man, have intelligent things to say. You mischaracterized what Jackie was saying about being Muslims and the Quran. She was making one of the things about Jackie that I really, really, really like is she's very self-consistent within the context of which she speaks. And that's very hard to find people. She doesn't expand it out beyond that. She said, you know, what, like she said about the Murdoch thing, when you're looking at someone operating within their religious paradigm, how can you fault them for saying something that's consistent with what they believe? She didn't say that she agreed that God was responsible or it was God's will that women, you know, get raped to have kids. But within that,
but I never said that, Vern. I asked the question,
and the question seemed
to upset her.
No, well, it upset her. So ask the question once more. I'll let Jackie. I think we fully answered it. I think it's like beating a dead horse.
Well, I don't know. That would be no point. She's already gone to bringing my wife into it and my uncle Mordechai, and you know that was.
Her point was to be to show you how she hears you on shows that you engage.
Vern, I never accused her of having an uncle that ran the slave ships. I mean, come on.
I said you bring your uncle into this and said his name. I don't know your uncle's name. I say your people, the Jews.
Well, are you asking me were the Jews involved in the slave trade, or are you telling me?
I'm telling you.
That the Jews were involved in the slave trade.
does this have to do with...
you're the one that... Well, what does it have to do? You brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
We were having a conversation.
No. Don't move on from that. You brought it
or
up.
Or take away.
Why did you bring
that
up that
conversation?
Why did
That's
you bring
the
that
question
up?
Vernon asked you.
Well,
no, Vernon didn't ask that question. You did. You're the one that said that the Jews were involved in the slave trade. So why did you bring that up?
And now I'm saying, what did you have?
No. Don't move off into something else. I'm going
to
ask you again. Why did you bring that up?
We were having when Vernon opened up.
Right. I understand. I understand you have resentment towards Vernon for doing that. Why did you bring up the Jews being involved in the slave trade?
Yeah, wait, as you told me one time, you cannot let things slide without commenting at the time.
As a descendant of slaves, I can bring up slavery anytime I want to.
You didn't bring up slavery. You brought up you said the Jews were involved in the slave trade. Why did you bring that up?
Bringing up slavery. Who's going to stop me from bringing it up?
I didn't ask you to stop. I asked you why you brought it up. I'm all for you bringing it up.
To remind you of how your people treated my people. Did you like it? Did you like the history lesson? Do you have slaves now? Are you looking for any?
Are you on medication?
Do you need some?
It's a sort of a roundabout conversation, Vern. You can't get an answer out of her. I think she's so seething with resentment.
Well,
what did you have to add or take away from the conversation that me and Vernon was having when Vernon opened your line up?
So this is all about you.
You
is that what it is?
You have not. No, this is about Vernon and his show.
I am
have not done that yet. It's been almost like 45 minutes longer than that, and you still have not added or taken away from the conversation that we were having when we opened up your line. If Vernon would have known that you were going to change the subject, but if I would have known, I probably would have just hung up the phone. I'm just trying to find out.
Okay, I'm gonna Jackie, I'm gonna bring up one angry Jew and just mute you for a second. I'm gonna get you back and forth, and then I want to wrap this out because the conversation she's talking about was a very fun one regarding how people relate to their perceptions about religion, their hereafter, how they see it, what's true, how they believe in it. And the comment was made at that particular point. Jackie was commenting that the Muslims seem to be more rigorous about their religion. That hit your bullshit meter. You called in. You actually said that they do that because out of the fear and threat and force, which in fact may be so. In which case they may be every bit as much of a hypocrite. So, the show has gone a field. What would you like to say? I'm going to let you say what you want to say right now, Jew.
No, I'm hoping she hangs up because I'm thirsty. I need to make some green tea. I need to calm myself.
Okay. Well, listen. Thanks for calling in. Why don't you go ahead and make some green tea and stuff?
I think that's
a fine idea. Okay. Thank you for the call. And,
all right, Vern. As always,
you have
pleasure.
A good evening.
Yes.
Bye bye.
What?
It's just you and I. So, for those of you that are still listening to the archives, interesting exchange. So, it's you. What, Jackie? What'd you say? Jackie, I'm here. I'm listening. The Jew left. One angry Jew is gone. It's just you and me.
Wait, 1 second, Vernon. I'll be right back.
Okay. So, folks, kind of an interesting show, interesting interchange. I don't know. Is there anything to be learned by that? You know, certainly on a planet of 7 billion people, we got a lot of people that we tend to butt heads and we annoy one another. I've certainly been accused of annoying people. It's not really my intention. I
so as we as I wrap this whole thing up, see, I get to look at myself as a host, and really maybe the way things like that need to be handled is to mute people and bring them in one at a time when it gets hot and heated. I'll look at that. And I have to think about what a good conversation for next week was. As I ordered the show, let's see. There's nothing to reason with, Vernon. Okay. This is early. I started the show about some comments regarding Proposition 37. And the comment to one of my comments was, these people and organizations promoting No on 37 need to be set on fire. I asked the question originally, can we get along and can we have reasonable communication? That's what holds things in place. I responded to this person, thanks for your thoughtful, reasoned response. Your thoughtful, reasoned response is what makes the country work. They came back and said, there's nothing to reason with, Vernon. Could Hitler be reasoned with? And if you've looked around lately, the country isn't exactly working. It's embarrassing and disgusting. But you're absolutely right. 93 of the American babies born containing hundreds of chemicals, pesticides in their umbilical cords is normal. Right, it's working. Right, angry young man. Next comment. All of the No on 37 ads are constructed to confuse the voter and or mislead them with false authority. Preach anything you want, but I'm sure I know far more about their marketing intentions. It wasn't enough. Someone said to me last week that when it gets into the political arena, people don't have a sense of humor. Bottom line, the CEO of Monsanto refuses to eat the product, and they're spreading over $20 million to stop us from knowing we're eating their product to monopolize agriculture. That's how much they believe in their product. And our FDA is working so well that Monsanto officials run it. Our president included put an organic garden in the White House right after he appointed Monsanto ex-VP to senior advisor of the FDA. Anyone who doesn't believe this is a conspiracy is either retarded or they are a kind, misinformed soul that deserves the benefit from GM labeling, should it pass. I say that to you again. Here's a passionate young man. You know, I don't know anything about him. I've never looked him up. But there is no room for any discussion of any of it with him. You know, he's as much a zealot as any religious zealot. He passionately believes what he believes. He's a 30-year-old internet millionaire. Passionately driven, with no tolerance to have a conversation with others. And so I ask, you know, hello, Jackie, you there?
Yeah, who is you talking about?
I was talking about this young man. Yeah, he's this young man that I opened the show with regarding can we have civilized conversations, and I went through his responses to my question where I said, you know, to his comment, people that are promoting No on 37 need to be set on fire, plain and simple. Where I said, thanks, your thoughtful, reasoned response is what makes the country work. And he went on to say, there's nothing to reason with. Could Hitler be reasoned with? And if you've looked around lately, the country isn't exactly working. He says, but you're absolutely right. 93% of American babies born containing. I didn't say any of that. All I said in my original post was that people that are going to vote on a law need to read it. I got so under his skin from a simple comment. He went, all of the No on 37 ads are constructed to confuse the voter and or mislead them with false authority. Preach anything you want, but I'm sure I know far more about their marketing intentions. I've never questioned his comment. And then finally, he couldn't stop. He had to go one last thing. I really got under his skin here. Not unintentionally, too. maybe want to tweak them a little bit. Bottom line, the CEO of Monsanto refuses to eat their product, and they're spending over $20 million to stop us from knowing we're eating their product to monopolize agriculture. That's how much they believe in their product, and our FDA is working so well that Monsanto officials run it. Our president included put an organic garden in the White House right after he appointed Monsanto's ex-VP to senior advisor of the FDA. Anyone who doesn't believe this is a conspiracy is either retarded or they are a kind, misinformed soul that deserves to benefit from GM labeling. It should pass. And my point being is notwithstanding anything that he says, Jackie, notwithstanding anything about genetically modified organisms or food, making no comment whatsoever on them, he is every bit as much a zealot as any Christian that knocks door to door or any religious fanatic that shoots young ladies because they don't want them to get educated. Because all I really said is it's a law that people are voting on and they need to be informed. That was my original comment. But there's not much tolerance for that. And in a world like that, I wonder how long we shall prevail. There's not a lot of tolerance to listen to points of view that dramatically differ from what we believe to be absolutely true. That's what that was about, all about. Are you there?
I'm here.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me that the world in which we live, it's very easy for me to see why it looks the way it does, because people have profoundly deeply seated beliefs and opinions. Nothing wrong with that, but unlike Aristotle told us, an educated person can simultaneously hold differing points of view. As Einstein said it, few people are capable of expressing with equanimity opinions that differ from those of their environment. And I think that if we can approach anything, not that we have to give up what we believe, not that we have to believe what someone else is telling us, but to at least sit down and see the logic structure behind what's being said. Within that, if we can work within that framework, we're a better nation, a better country, a better people, a better world. And that's one of the things that I think is missing. It's one of the things I see in the political arena, because, yes, it is true. You may say that one party has more people that believe one way than the other, but when it all comes down to it, life occurs on the basis of the individual. And to paint anyone, any individual with the broad brush of a group is a drastic mistake, because individuals are individual humans in their own right. Not all Jews are like one angry Jew. Not all Muslims go out. Not all Muslims go out there and shoot little girls. Not all Christians are hypocrites. And the problem with the broad sweeping brush is we paint each other. That is the language of war. And I'm not saying we're trying to do it consciously, but it's the thing that keeps that which we have in common separate from us. And, you know, in the big scheme of things, for all of you listening out there, you know, people always say, no, you're not. I'm an older man. I'm getting older by every day. I have no problem with that. I'm very happy with my age. I hope I live to be as long as I can. If I get to the point the body parts don't work, maybe I want to exit the planet. But I'm headed out. You all are too. And the extent that we can totally extend that sensitivity and respect to our fellow human beings that they deserve, this planet is unstoppable. And as I said the other night, and I know it sounds crazy to people, I just ask you to try and let the words rattle around, is the civilization and humanity's come a long ways in its evolution, and it's got a long ways to go. But progress has at least been made. Fortunately, we have not surpassed Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We talked about that some last night. And hopefully we never will, because of the point that people push that button, things are really problematic. And as we go, I am just worried more about the individual sensitivities and intolerances that we see on the planet. That's just me, just my point of view. As I keep telling y'all, God doesn't wake me up at 1 in the morning and say, Vernon, 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 V-Cube, go out there and preach my truth to the people.
You say your name 3 times.
I actually need to do it 4 so I can face to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. Oh, it makes me want to go on a monologue about transformations, not in the sense of enlightenment, but in terms of what they call a mathematical transformation, where you have, but it's, folks, I'm not going to do that tonight. I'll save that for a whole another night. We'll have a little science mathematics talk. And I will
say, do a science show. That would be so nice. I could sit back and listen and learn all night.
I'll do one of these soon. What I'm thinking about doing is starting to do some very short pieces during the week, maybe half an hour shows, 15-minute to half an hour shows, and maybe intersperse some of those with some short monologues and maybe set a foundation for the next day or so, because I think that would be fun too. But as it is, I enjoy the weekend shows. Obviously, the One Angry Jew is not particularly always liked and appreciated, and he's got a personality.
He does that when he can. He, if you listen to him on other people's shows, he is totally not like that. Some people's shows he acts that way, and some people's shows he doesn't. The reason why I asked you to let him talk on that particular show is because for some reason when he wants to be serious, then he's not taken serious because he acts like a retard too much. But I heard him on ABC show on Freedomizer, and he was saying some stuff, you know, like current news and mixed in with some type of history. So he was trying to repeat it on Perry's show, and you know, because he always acts a certain way, that night they happened to be acting that same way towards him, and he couldn't get it out.
So yeah, I saw Perry and him in chat night, and Perry was saying, don't talk to me. Yes, no, actually, I will go back and listen to this, and I will listen. You know, he was actually better tonight in some ways, not always, than he was the last time he'd shut up more for me. When, I think when I started hitting him with the laser beam, my...
Oh, that was funny.
I need to get one that goes boom, 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 like they do in Star Trek. Well, you know, there again, for what it's worth, I'm going to close out the show with this, Jackie. I'm going to share it with you and have you comment with me and interact. I'll go a little long. One of the problems with communication, I really need to do a show on that, is people, we don't listen. I'm not saying you. I'm not saying society as a whole hears stuff that doesn't get said. And that was very exemplary in what the One Angry Jew was saying tonight. And then conversation devolves around what wasn't said. And because what you had said literally was totally different than the avenue of road he took it down. And I should have jumped in at that particular point and said, that's not what we said. So to even go down that alley is totally meaningless.
But he, you know, whether he was trying to just mess with the show or he really believed that, I think there's a certain amount of sincerity in it. And like I told him yesterday afternoon, when he says, "I can't stand noise," his kid was obnoxious, was as distracting as hell. Made me think of those times where Giuliani's kid was up on the stage when he's trying to be sworn in. Saturday Night Live did a piece on that. You remember? I don't know. Did you see that? Yeah.
But when you asked him, was that his kid? He didn't get the hint that it was distracting.
Yeah.
But he can't sit for 15 and 10 minutes and tell how something is distracting him. That was just how we are as people.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know.
It just gets to a point where you can get over it and laugh at it. I'm sorry he took that whole slavery thing funny, but, I mean, you know, the wrong way, but to me it was funny. You can't irritate people. I can irritate you. You want to? He does stuff to try to get under people's skin like he did on Lori's show that night. And, you know, if you can find out how to get under people's skin, you do it. That's why he comes on people's show and takes over the show, because he knows that that irritates people. But I can laugh at you. I don't have to be irritated if I know how to irritate you.
Yeah, you know, and the ultimate thing is there's a certain humor in the whole thing. I can just see Lori going on with him. You know, but it's like, you know what's funny? I was listening to that. I know very little about any of that history, if you really want to know the truth. But what someone told me one time? They happened to be either, I think it was the machinist in the university I was at. They told me that the Dutch were responsible for slavery. I said, wow, I didn't know that. But if it was true, it made sense only because the Dutch started insurance. I don't know if you know that. And the way they did it is they used to have people that would sit in the ports and they would climb up these very high towers, crow's nests, and they would look on the horizon for the ships coming in. And the ones coming in, they'd tally which ones were going to make it, and they'd base the insurance rates based on that. So we can. The whole world
well, you
is
think
fucked
you
up.
These ancient African empires, they enslaved other Africans before white people or pale people or green people, brown people, yellow people, any other kind of people, Jewish people, before any other people came over to Africa.
Now say that again.
So in the end, it's like, who really cares? That's how I can laugh and make jokes about it, because that's just the truth of it.
The beauty of it, the beauty and sadness, if you want to put it that way, is at the heart of it is the nature of humans. You know, throughout the beginning of time, you know, humanity, to the victor went the spoils, and the strong dominated the weak. And it's one of the things that it's one of the hardest things to grapple with, is some things can never be justified as right. They can be understood within the context of the time, if that makes sense, if you understand what I'm saying. I can't justify.
I don't think they could justify that as right, because if you go and you conquer a land, it's obviously you are bigger and stronger than the people in that land because you conquered them. You very well can't let them live and go about their life as they did before you took over their land. They would have to be enslaved. Not saying that you, like, whip them all the time and make them, like, pick cotton and stuff, but it's a certain order that had to go along with taking over somebody's land. From all the way back in those eras, all the way up until the British or whatever, the colonizers came over and fought the Indians. Same thing.
Well, we're not taking over people's lands quite as radically. I know we're even
it's
as
even
I say
worse
that.
Now. We were talking about that last night. Now they just dropped depleted uranium on them.
I've been reading I can get myself in a pickle on that.
That's way worse.
Well, I've been reading the reports that Evan talked about last night. They used a lot of depleted uranium in the shells and stuff in Iraq. And you've got to be very – what's worse, I'll tell you what's worse than the depleted uranium is the conversation we had last night about the Japanese shipping out canned radioactive fish. That is done with a foresight and foreknowledge. I can't – without I'm not going to defend the Iraq war or any war. The studies that I was reading that Evan recommended last night, they are – there's a huge stretch to get to a major point that it's the depleted uranium that is causing problems there. They measured all sorts of metals that were there as a function of the fighting. One of the problems is the women's hair had the uranium – had some uranium in it. Men's didn't from a scientific standpoint. And the confidence limits and the limits of error are so wide that's problematic. It would be like saying we measured the distance from California to New York, and we measured it to be 3,000 miles, plus or minus 3,000 miles. Do you understand what I'm saying? The error bars are so big in those measurements that they're drawing conclusions from, and they even at the end of the study say, well, it's not really clear what we can draw a conclusion about. Should we have been in the country? No. Should we have been, I don't know. My point, as I said earlier about the depleted uranium, was not that it was good, bad, or safe. It was just that most people don't know a lot about radioactive material, and they think because it has a long half-life, that's what makes it dangerous. What that means is not giving off a lot of dangerous radiation. So, but then it got into the depleted uranium thing. That's all I wanted to do.
What? Information is biased. It's biased by the person that's giving it. So if you wanted to go online and look up like all the bad things about this, you could most definitely do it. And if you wanted to look up all the plus about it or the not so bad things, I'm pretty sure you can find like an equal amount of written words to back that up too.
No, what I'm actually saying, either I reject some of my scientific training or relate to it, and all I'm trying to say is the longer the half-life of something, the less radioactively hot it is and the less dangerous it is from the radioactive standpoint. That's all I'm saying.
But if he, not saying or arguing with what you said or what he said, but if he thinks that this is bad and he goes looking it up and everything that he points to says that is bad and these are the bad things, and then he refers you to his references is going to prove his point. You can probably go online and, look up just as many things that disprove his point.
He sent me some good references, though. He was a good, honest young man. And I was just reading through them. And my whole point is we live in an age of superstition. I'm going to say superstition brought about by the Internet, because whereas information should be a good thing, there's too much information available. And the bad thing about it is not that information is not available, but so much of it is almost voodoo information. And it plays on the fears. Yeah, on the fears and paranoias. And unfortunately, in my experience, there are two things. In my experience, people look up what they want to support their point of view. And I've asked that before. Most of what I find that contradicts what people tell me, Jackie, is not because I was looking for it, because I was looking through the stuff they gave me that referred to other stuff, that referred to other stuff that came back around to this stuff. And lo and behold, I find out, well, what they thought that they were reading ultimately led to other things that I didn't even know that discredited. I don't look for something to support what I believe or discredit what I believe. Because I'm really more concerned about what the truth and fact is. And the problem is I spent a lot of time trying to look stuff up,
because it comes by as fast as someone driving a truckload of shit with a big pump on it spraying houses, and I'm going behind trying to clean it up as quick as it sprayed out. Just my metaphor
there.
That's
funny, because I was trying to prove that that black people were Christians when they came here. I was trying to prove that, and everything was saying that they were Muslim. Funny.
Yeah.
You do try to go and prove something and then get disproved.
Well, you know, that at the heart of it, someone that's committed to the truth will go wherever it takes them. You know, and I'm not saying I'm a good person or anything like that, but I'm interested in the truth. And so someone tells me something that I don't know or I find questionable, you know, I want to find out and look it up. And frequently it will take me down alleys and alleys and that add to my knowledge base, number one. But number two, frequently I'll find that people didn't always know what they're talking about. So, I don't, you know, and it's not they're dumb. It's just
people agree with them.
Say the last thing again.
Because people agree with them.
Yeah, yeah, and you're absolutely right.
You need to know what you're talking about. If people agree with you, it's going to be true. Nobody needs to go look it up, especially today. We don't even need computers. Computers is like to have fun on social. It's networking. It's never to look up any information, because to find truth is to find people that agree, and that's all you need. Nobody needs to look anything up.
But see, that's where I disagree. My thing with Laura, I hear what you're saying. And that's the tragedy. The truth transcends what anyone believes. And in fact, there's a great quote about the truth. I'm going to look it up and I'm going to send it to you, to your mobile phone. It's called A Little Book of Aphorisms. But what most of us don't realize is that you can't do anything with the truth. The minute someone tries to do something with the truth or use it for something, they alter it. The truth just is, and the problem is people try and make the truth mean something and do with it, and that automatically alters it, changes it, and it's no longer truth. I had a good friend, I've used this one over and over, that always used to say, nothing's sacred but the truth. And I would always tell him, his name was Chad, I'd say, Chad, couldn't agree with you more, but just because you call something the truth doesn't make it true. And that's the problem. As you say, there are two truths. There is maybe the universe or absolute truths that we may or may not know by accident or by truth. And there are the eternal truths, but there is also that truth that's a function of agreement, as you say. And perception is people's
will. All the time.
Well, it wins in the affairs of humans. Where it doesn't win, where there are people that are committed to the truth, I'll call it with a capital T, and that are willing to continue to explore and sit back even if the battle's lost and be like the moral person in Sodom and Gomorrah and say, that's just not true, or you're welcome to your own truth. What I've come